Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hello and welcome to Connecting Faith. Glad to have you listening once again. I'm Neil Stavem. Ted's at the controls and Chris at the phones, and we've got a great hour ahead today. Ted, we are we're in the middle of our Angel Tree campaign, an opportunity that our Faith Radio listeners have to come alongside and do just a small part in helping Angel Tree reach thousands of kids this year with a Christmas gift and the gospel and a message of love from their incarcerated parents.
So exciting right now. Can I give the update, Neil?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, here's a number for you, 187. You know what that is?
No.
That's how many kids we have left to reach for our goal, to meet our goal, and we'd love to go beyond it, of course.
Sure.
So thank you to those who have contributed. 813 we're up to already.
Wow. We'd said at the beginning of our campaign, said we'd like to see 1,000 kids reach. Now, the overall goal for Angel Tree this year, they hope to reach 375,000 kids. The sad reality is that there are, 2.7 million kids with an incarcerated parent. So this is truly just a drop in the bucket, but we wanted to do something because this is an important opportunity, an important need. And today, we're going to spend the entire hour just getting some wonderful perspective on Angel Tree from a variety of viewpoints. So let me introduce our first guest. Mary Johnson serves as the field director for the state of Illinois with Prison Fellowship Ministries. And in that capacity, she helps to engage the local churches with Angel Tree and year-round family ministry, equipping volunteers and churches with in-prison ministry training, access and prison programs, and mentoring, community reentry and support as a bridge church. And so we're happy to have Mary with us today. And we're going to just start by talking a little bit about, Mary, your perspective on Angel Tree. Welcome to Connecting Faith, by the way. I mean, you've sort of seen it from both sides, right, as a prison fellowship field director. I mean, you know the importance of this program. But maybe just give a little story, kind of what you've seen from those families that receive it and the those incarcerated parents that get the connection.
Well, I think the connection, your point you're making, the connection is obviously the whole reason why we do that. You know, I think if we first even think about Christmas being God is with us, Emmanuel, that's what Christmas is really all about. And we know that our Father gave us presents. He gave us His Son. And so that's really the whole Angel Tree and Christmas is exactly the same heart. Parents in prison, they want their child to know that they're remembered, that they love them, that they want to touch their children. You're talking about two people who don't have what the rest of us have at Christmas. You know, we are all looking forward to gathering with our families and celebrating and giving gifts. And there's two people, you know, there's some families that are broken where the mom or dad in prison who absolutely cannot give a gift to his child. That's even why Angel Tree started, which you've probably shared somewhere on the radio in the last couple of days. And so here's this mom or dad just so grateful to us. When I go in to the prison over the summer, like this summer we did 25 prisons in Illinois, brought volunteers in and canvassed the prison and helped men and women sign their children up for Angel Tree. And with the biggest emphasis we always make is the message that they get to put on this application and then is transferred onto the Christmas gift that's given to the child. And I just tell them, I'm kind of hard on some of the guys. I say, don't be a knucklehead. Don't just write, you know, Merry Christmas. This is what your child's going to read. And I do that because years back in Chicago, I was doing a big Angel Tree party with like 500 kids. We were trying to serve last minute, and we had a lot of volunteers, and we were having like moms and kids come in one side and then pick up on the other side, just trying to serve 500 kids in an afternoon. And so I went and pulled got an app and pulled all the presents and brought it and called the mom's name, and she came up, and there was a girl that looked like a teenage girl, you know, all very nice looking young lady. And so I hand the gifts over to the mom and I said, now this is the message that the dad wrote. And he writes something like, you know, I know I messed up, and I know I'm not there for you, but I'm going to be next year, and I love you. And I saw the corner of my eye, this girl, this said this was a 12-year-old girl on the paper. And I said, are you her? And she said, yes, I am. And I gave her the note, and you could just see that that was the most important thing. Well, so the mom, she crosses the gym and goes out the stairs of the church gym and out to the parking lot, and I go back and get in line. And as I'm in line to help the next person, I see this young girl, and she's just standing in the middle of the gym reading that message. Hmm. I'm moving up in the line. It's almost my turn to get another person, and I see she's at that same stairs, and she stops, and she's reading that message again. She didn't even care about the present. All she needed was that single connection to her father that said, you know, she mattered and that he loved her and he wanted to be there. And so I know that that's the thing. We get an opportunity for a parent to be very present with this gift, with this message, and I think that's the most important part of Angel Tree.
You know, you've seen prisons from a variety of perspectives and, you know, correctional facilities, and you know the sad statistics that, 2.7 million kids have an incarcerated parent. And the statistics are pretty high that, children of incarcerated parents often sort of follow in their parents' footsteps. This actually is a way that we can make a difference in that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, it's... Sadly, children of prisoners are really the most forgotten group of children because, for one, there's a code of silence about when your parent is in prison. You know, when a child is in a school situation, let's say, and the child's parent is going through a divorce, you know, student counselors and everybody kind of watches over them, or certainly if a parent dies, you know, there's a lot of empathy from the community, from teachers, from everybody surrounding that child about. But yet, when your parent goes to prison, there's nobody going to comfort you or come about you. It's not something you're going to talk about. It's a thing you hide. You don't even tell your friends, my dad's in prison. It's not something you announce. And so there's that, and then there's really a stigma that goes with it as well. We've had a mom who shared about the second year that her child was in school at the student-teacher conference that her child... her child's dad was in prison. And so the very next week, the mom gets a call from the teacher saying that, you know, Tommy stole $5. And she said, you know, that's impossible. I gave him $5 in his book bag this morning for the book fair. But immediately, because his dad's in prison, now he has the stigma that he's a thief. And my personal experience is the children of prisoners are either they don't want to be what their parent is. They're the extreme opposite. They become the valedictorian of the class. They exceed and they become everything their parent isn't, or they're so angry, so confused, so broken, so hurt that they do repeat the cycle, and the very thing they hate, they become, and they are exactly what their parent was, and then they are in that cycle. It's hard. There's not too much in between those extremes. They're either, like I said, the most exceptional child in the class or the most wounded child in the class, and it gets hard, you know.
One of the
they need our love.
One of the great things we can do is simply providing to make sure that a child receives a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Mary Johnson has seen it happen time and time again. She serves as a field director for the state of Illinois with the Prison Fellowship Ministries. And Mary, we're just excited that so many people have already responded, but what we're asking is really just kind of a drop in the bucket for the overall need, and I'm sure you know that in your state as well. You've seen many needs that go unmet because there just aren't funds to take care of it.
Absolutely, and it's also, you know, this is a huge effort, and it's a wonderful effort that churches and prison fellowship can do together. It's a way the body of Christ, you know, it can't be done without everybody doing their part. You know, it takes a lot to be in every prison and state and federal prison in the United States and to collect all this information and to really try to make sure that children and parents are connected to Jesus, that church folks can help connect them to Jesus. And it's just it's a wonderful opportunity for people also, but it's also a wonderful ministry. It has changed lives, as you said. I've known you've probably had lots of people talking about people that even, you know, knew that there was God because an angel tree gift came. Because I've had a little girl, I remember hearing a testimony of a school teacher actually at the Nazarene College that said, Olivet Nazarene, that he went to the door. He said, I couldn't hardly even talk. The girl kept saying, I told you Jesus wasn't gonna forget us. I told you he wasn't going to forget us. He said he looked in the house, and all there was a grandma and a little girl, a chair, and maybe one table. There was really hardly any furniture, hardly anything in this house. And here's this little child being the witness saying, Jesus won't forget me, you know. And I don't think there's anything better than that, than them knowing that their parent loves them and that God loves them.
That's our prayer, that our conversation today will just be another prompt reminder that we can be a part of it, of seeing that reality come true for many children today with an incarcerated parent. $84 will help reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from your incarcerated parent. And you can make that gift today by calling the number 855-59-ANGEL, 855-59-ANGEL, or you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and click on the link there right in the front page and make your gift. I've been talking with Mary Johnson, Field Director for the State of Illinois at Prison Fellowship Ministries. Mary, thank you for joining us today. Merry Christmas. Thank you for the great work you're doing.
Merry Christmas. Emmanuel be with you, too.
Amen. All right. Mary Johnson joining us today. Coming up in a moment, we're going to meet someone who actually signed up for Angel Tree while in prison. In fact, his prison story was pretty amazing, and he didn't necessarily, I don't know if he really thought it was going to make that much difference, because he was kind of about revenge when he spent his time in prison. We're going to hear Jeffrey Hooper's story coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned for that and more as we continue on Connecting Faith. We're talking Angel Tree today. You can be a part of it at 855-59-ANGEL. Things about Christmas is the Christmas music, but there's something even better. It's knowing that the best gift of all came this season. Jeffrey Hooper experienced that. His story, the short version, is that back in the early 90s, Jeffrey, his dad, and two brothers together planned to pull off a $1 million heist at the Stardust Hotel in Las Vegas. Didn't quite work out. He spent some time in prison. It was while in prison he applied for Angel Tree for his daughter, and Jeffrey's on the line with us. Jeffrey, I know we've heard your testimony before in one of the little vignettes that we have to share, but welcome to Connecting Faith, and maybe just pick up the story there. You're in prison, and as I recall, the revenge was kind of on your mind, and so what signing up your daughter for Angel Tree wasn't really, maybe you didn't have the right motives. Is that fair to say?
Oh, that's exactly the truth. You know, the time I spent was in a Texas prison. And when I was there, I had wrote a hit list to educate the people when I got out that had betrayed me.
Educate, quote unquote, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you know, anybody that's ever been in Texas, you know, Texas summers are pretty brutal. So the only building that had air conditioning was the chapel. And so, like many other guys, I went to the chapel to cool off. And that's when some of the volunteers for Angel Tree came through. And at first, my impression was, great, you know, I have an opportunity to get a present for my daughter. You know, she'll remember that Dad didn't forget her for Christmas. I'd been locked up a couple of years at that point. And so I signed up and didn't really think anything of it. And then it was... just a few weeks later, it was probably in November, maybe a little later, I got a letter. That letter was from my daughter, Amanda, and that letter said, thank you for the doll, thank you for the game, thank you for everything, love you, Merry Christmas, Amanda. I still have that letter today. 20 years ago is when I got in. And, you know, and then I was still a little skeptical. You know, people don't do those things. People don't give freely without there being some kind of return. People don't just give gifts and support these things for nothing. And then when she came to visit me, my sweet little girl, 6 years old, she presented to me the gospel the way the pastor had presented it to her when they went to the Angel Tree celebration, that God forgives and restores. And 20 years ago, that was on a Christmas day, I gave my life to Christ. This Christmas will be 20 years.
Wow, you have a pretty good celebration every Christmas, don't you?
Yes, sir, it does. And that's why, you know, we volunteer in many different capacities, you know, with Angel Tree and delivering gifts and calling on churches and doing radio spots and things. Anything that I can do to serve God and serve the same people, the same population who reached out to me 20 years ago and that led me to Christ. And since then, I went to seminary. I was a hospice chaplain not that long ago. And now, you know, with 3 children, I have 2 sons that know a different father, that know a man that loves God, that still has bad days, and that's okay. But all they've ever known is the father that loves God and brings them to church and volunteers in these things. And the night and day difference between living a life in Christ and living without him completely.
In fact, I know I don't know if you're working on your autobiography, Thief in the House. Is that coming out soon, or is that already out?
It is out. Okay. It is an autobiography of walking through the childhood that I grew up in, through the time, through prison and Angel Tree, and then coming out on the other side. It is, the thief in the house, you know, where everything in my heart says, you know, we often look, as Scripture says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And when I go out to the prisons, we do church services and things, and what I encourage these guys to realize is sometimes the thief in the house is looking at us in the mirror, that we're the ones responsible for these things, and that, you know, that lesson of looking inwardly is what everything that drives what I do every morning I get up. It's just trying to be a better father, trying to be a better man, trying to be a better servant for God and his kingdom.
Jeffrey Hopper is my guest today, telling his story. I spent several years incarcerated. At that time, as he said, he applied for Angel Tree for his daughter, partly just to, you know, get out of the heat, the Texas prison. Jeffrey, was God already kind of working in your life when you got the note from your daughter Amanda, said, "Hey, thanks for the present." I mean, you know, as you said, you were, you know, didn't maybe have the best motives for it. I mean, you weren't really thinking too much about it. So was that really a turning point for you?
It was indeed, and honestly, at that point, you know, we'd go to the services, and you know, either take naps or talk, or weren't really paying that much attention. And then that began to amaze me too, is because the chaplain of the facility, he never said anything. He never pestered us to do Bible studies or anything like that. He would counsel us. He would speak to us if we asked him. And it began really for me to question, what is it that drives people to do these things? You know, why do people do these things voluntarily, with no compensation, with no reward? And that was the strangest idea, strangest concept for me ever in my life. I was taught growing up that if somebody wasn't strong enough to hold on to what they had, then they didn't deserve it. And it was survival of the fittest. That church and God was for people who were weaker, people who needed a crutch, people who couldn't make it on their own. And what I found out as I spoke to the chaplain, as I spoke to the people and the volunteers and the various ministries that came through, it was exactly the opposite. These were some of the most wonderful, strong people because they resisted temptation. And it became to realize that what it meant to become a man and be a man was the ability to say no and live right. That taking the other course was the easy course. It was the easy path. And that was something that I began in earnest to pursue. But even in prison, you know, I'm surrounded by people who have their own versions of Scripture, have their own versions of what the Bible means. And it was difficult to really, you know, understand it all until I was finally released and then sought it out in earnest once I was out of prison. And, you know, to this day, when my daughter, who is now 28, and you speak to her about Angel Tree and you speak to her about the changes in the life that came about, it still brings tears to her eyes. That was over 20 years ago. And you see the results of this ministry, the fruits of it. I see it everywhere in the town, the small town we live in Louisiana. I see it almost daily. The children that come to church, the families that come to church after an Angel Tree celebration and still continue to go.
Jeffrey, you talked about so that turning point. You began the question, why do these things? Take a minute and say, why should we get involved in being a part of supporting Angel Tree? Why would we do these things?
Well, you know, for me, it's a really simple, you know, what God tells us to do for the least of these. And the people out there who can do the financial support, you know, that can, they enable others to serve. It's a body of Christ that the ones who can financially support it do. The volunteers that would go into the prisons go. The volunteers that deliver the presents. And all these things are only possible with the people who support it. And, you know, I was listening to the show just before I joined you, and you know, some of the statistics, the numbers, to realize that when these people out there listening tonight, when they go out today and they're shopping and they're at the grocery stores and they look at the children that come through there, it's very likely that one of those children that they see today has a parent incarcerated. One out of 28. And the difference it can make is generations of children who don't make those choices because they have seen that there is a different life. And I've witnessed it many times, many, many times over the years, that these men that come out of prison after being touched by Angel Tree and see them in church, run into them at Walmart or the mall or someplace, and how different their life really has become. And it's because of Angel Tree, because they were presented with the gospel.
The gospel, it's a Christmas gift, the gospel and a message of love. And all those are key elements of the ministry of Angel Tree. And you can be a part of it with a phone call today at 855-59-ANGEL, 855-592-6435. Or it's easy to go to our website at myfaithradio.com, and you can click on the link right in the front page and make your gift today. Maybe it's $84, you can reach six kids. You know, $169 is going to reach a dozen. But if it's, you know, if it's $10 or if it's $100 or if it's $1,000, know that you're playing an important part in what God is doing through this great ministry. Jeffrey Hopper talking with us today. Jeffrey, thank you for your part in encouraging us today. And I know that you will have a Merry Christmas because you do every year, but we want to just especially wish you a Merry Christmas this year, too.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Jeffrey Hopper, one of the partners in making Angel Tree a wonderful program that it is. We're going to continue talking about it and invite you to participate with it as well. Again, the phone number is 855-59-ANGEL. We're looking here at Faith Radio to reach 1,000 kids with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love, and you can be a part of it by going online at myfaithradio.com. Stay tuned for more coming up in just a couple minutes. Talking about caring for the least, the lost, those that are in prison and their families that are left behind. And we're glad to have you listening in today. Focusing on Angel Tree today, it's been a campaign we are proud to be part of here at Faith Radio. And just FYI, you know, the dollars that are raised through our efforts here at Angel Tree, your gifts, they go all directly to Prison Fellowship. None of it's just stopping here. It's just going right to them. So we just thank you for your generosity. Over 800 children already have been helped through your generosity at 855-59-ANGEL. That's 855-592-6435. Or many have been giving online as well, going to myfaithradio.com and then connecting right there in the link in the front page. So we've had several guests today just telling a little bit about their story. We want to get another perspective and talk today to Lisa Brown. Lisa is a mother and a grandmother, and she also is a recovering drug addict. Spent some time in federal prison, in fact, landed there at age 35, and that's where she first heard about the Angel Tree. And Lisa, welcome to Connecting Faith. Maybe just pick up the story from there. You're in prison. You heard about Angel Tree. What did you hear, and why did you decide to get involved?
Hi, Neil. Well, I got involved when I was incarcerated, and I had first heard about Angel Tree Ministry through our chaplain. And from there, I was amazed because I'd never heard of anybody helping out, you know, incarcerated parents for their children. So once I found out about that, I signed my children up, and they did receive gifts and everything. And it was such a blessing to hear my son tell me on the phone. At the time, he was 5.5 years old. He told me, "Mom, how did you know what I wanted? And I love you forever and ever and always." Well, I knew they actually gave the message that I wrote on the Angel Tree form to him, because that was exactly my words to him. And they deliver the presents to the children, and they tell the children that it's from their parent. So you have that connection there with them.
It's really a wonderful opportunity for you to, I mean, as a mom, I know there's, you want to be able to give gifts to your kids anyway and sacrifice for them, but you really didn't have that option on your own, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that was heartbreaking, but once found out about Angel Tree, and I was incarcerated for many years, and my children were taken care of through the Angel Tree Ministry, you know, for me. With me not being there.
Say a little bit about, you know, just maybe as you've heard and reflected back about, you know, when those gifts got delivered, I mean, the reaction of your children, I mean, as you said, that was to know that they had actually received the gift and the note, too. Just maybe say a word about how much that meant to you while you still had months to go in your prison sentence.
Oh, well, Neil, I just started crying when my son told me that. And it meant so much to me that, you know, I prayed that night, and I literally told God that when I was released that I was going to give back to others what they had given to my children. And I'll tell you, once I was released in that same year, going to the church I was attending, I became the church coordinator for Angel Tree there, and that was back in 2007, and I have been doing it ever since. Just the blessings that we can, you know, give back to, you know, the other children, just seeing the other children that we deliver to, I know how, you know, these people feel.
Yeah. Yeah. You more than anyone, I mean, you've experienced it on both sides. And so it's just, it's gotta be pretty special just to there's probably a few tears. Huh?
Oh, many tears, many tears. 'Cause we deliver to these children, and some of them are, you know, are with foster parents, and some of them are with grandparents. And so just the excitement in their eyes. And, of course, we deliver those presents in, you know, on behalf of the incarcerated parent. It's not from us. It's from the incarcerated parent. And, yes, those children's faces just light up. And I've had, you know, a couple kids tell me, "My daddy didn't forget me," or "My mama didn't forget me." No. And that's, you know, that's the blessing that we get on delivering.
Is that a real concern of kids? That we've heard that several times, that, you know, that kids are, they're probably not talking about the fact that they have an incarcerated parent, but they don't want to be forgotten, right?
Exactly. And they, you know, they don't have a connection with their parent. you know, other than maybe phone calls. Maybe they get to see them, you know, for a visit. But with Angel Tree, we can help make that connection with them, you know, can help, you know, make that bond with them, yeah, with their parents.
There's also, you know, we always talk about, too, it's not just a Christmas gift, but it's the gospel and a message of love. I mean, that this is an opportunity to really not only demonstrate the love of Christ, but to share it as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Lisa, you've been volunteering now for a number of years. You've been clean for 15 plus. So congratulations on that. That's a major work of God in your life, isn't it?
It's by the grace of God that, you know, I am sober and clean.
Yeah.
And we'll continue that way.
Good. Lisa, we thank you for sharing your story. What would you say to someone listening today that maybe hasn't gotten involved or no, obviously, there's one thing to be one of the volunteers through your church to be the delivering or maybe purchasing gifts. We're asking for monetary gifts today to help, you know, advance the Angel Tree cause. But just say a word about why people should get involved.
People need to get involved just, you know, for not just the, well, mainly for the blessings that, you know, these children can have. They can feel and share the love with them. If they're not delivering the presents, just know that you've given to a child that might not even get one present.
One of your favorite Bible verses, maybe just close with that, Philippians 4:13.
Absolutely. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
And we believe that a program like Angel Tree is going to make a difference for many kids. It has over the years. You've been doing it for about the past 7 years, so you've seen some long term impact, I'm sure, as the various kids and the families that you visited.
Yes, I have, and some of these parents or grandparents that have these children, or the mom or the dad, whatever, we can continue that bond with them, and you know. And share, you know, bring them into church and, you know, share the gospel with them as well.
Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today, for sharing your story, for your willingness to talk about how God's done a work in your life. And we wish you a very merry and blessed Christmas. You have a couple children and a couple grandchildren, or is there more than that?
Actually, my husband and I have 7 children and 8 grandchildren. We recently adopted 2 children.
Well, blessings to you and your whole family this Christmas season. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Neil.
All right. Well, you're listening to our special edition on Connecting Faith as we talk about Angel Tree. And what we're talking about is ways that we can see lives changed and impacted for Christ. You know, the reality is that most of the parents that are incarcerated aren't anywhere near their family. And so these Christmas connections are so important. 2.7 million children in America have a parent in prison. That works out to about 1 in 28 American school-aged children. And this program has been going on involving thousands of churches over the years. And the goal this year to reach 375,000 of those, 2.7 million. That's really a drop in the bucket. And out of that, we're saying of our Faith Radio family, could we just take care of 1,000 of those by providing gifts? $84 will help reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and the message of love from their incarcerated parent. And maybe you're able to do more than that. $225 will reach 16 kids, for example. So just thank you for your generosity. You can give today online at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. There's a link right in the front page. Or you could go on the phone. We have a direct phone number that will get you to an Angel Tree volunteer to make your gift. It's 855-59-ANGEL. That's 855-592-6435. Angel Tree is making a difference in the lives of kids and families. We're going to meet someone next who actually received an Angel Tree gift at age 15 from her incarcerated parent. We'll hear the story coming up in a moment. Stay tuned.
My dad's in prison, and I haven't seen him in a long time.
And so we walk up to the door, and I knocked on it.
My kids had toys.
One little boy just was thrilled with his gift of a fishing pole.
When I was incarcerated, my children felt like Daddy left them.
God used Angel Tree to get me closer to him.
One little girl said, "Tell my daddy I don't hate him anymore."
Hi, Dad, I miss you, and I hope you miss me.
Then I said, "Oh, Lord, there really is someone that cares for us."
Oh, powerful, real stories of lives that have been impacted through Angel Tree Ministry. We're partnering with Prison Fellowship Ministries to see Angel Tree continue to grow and expand and reach out and touch thousands of lives. And our goal here across the Faith Radio Network is among our listening family to see 1,000 kids reached. And you can do that with a gift today. $84 will reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. And the reality of is it approximately half the children with incarcerated parents are under 10 years old, and 62% of the parents in state prisons reported being confined more than 100 miles from their last place of residence. So the likelihood of families really getting to see each other, especially around Christmas time, is kind of slim for some. We're going to hear today Michelle's story. Michelle Rainey is in Oklahoma. And first got involved in Angel Tree at age 15 when mom left her to take care of her 4 siblings. And we're going to hear the story about Michelle's experience with Angel Tree. Michelle, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what happened for you. How did Angel Tree impact your life, and when did that happen?
Well, I'm in my 30s now. I'm not going to say how old I am, but when I was 15 years old, my mom was incarcerated. She didn't think she was going to be in prison a long time, and she didn't want to lose her kids, and so she left me in charge of them. They were 6 weeks old, 4 years old, 7 and 8, and so Angel Tree came into our lives. It wasn't the first year that she was incarcerated, the second year, and the first 2 or 3 Christmases, that was the only gifts the children had. And I wasn't old enough to drive the kids to visit her, so it was the only connection we had to her.
That's a pretty heavy load for a 15-year-old, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, my mom had she had a drug problem for most of my life. So I had been caring for the kids. You know, I'd been the primary caretaker, I guess would be the way to say it, for years. I dropped out in the 7th grade because she kind of encouraged that, but she needed somebody to take care of them. So I was already kind of doing it. Hmm. She just wasn't there at all anymore. So,
you know, a lot of kids probably get way more gifts than they need, and you know, we kind of take it for granted for many. But you were in a family situation where, a Christmas gift was really, truly a rare treat, wasn't it?
No, absolutely. Like I said, the first year she went to prison, there weren't any Christmas gifts. I was 15. One of my brothers was mentally disabled, so he got an SSI check every month. We were able to eat because of that, but there weren't money for extras, and you know, certainly not Christmas presents. So, yeah, they were the only gifts we got, those Angel Tree gifts, for the first few years.
Talk a little bit about maybe that connection. Did you the Angel Tree volunteer or the church that was involved and bringing a message of love from your mom? And what did that mean to you, maybe just, you know, getting that? And maybe how did your siblings respond as well?
First it was a connection to our mom, so that was pretty neat. And then we weren't raised in church. The Angel Tree program that we were involved in, it was a church director. I mean, a church brought that to us, and they didn't just bring it to our house. They invited us to an Angel Tree Christmas party. And that was the first place that I ever found out what Christmas was even really about, why we celebrated Christmas. Not being raised in a church, and my mother, didn't talk to me about Christ. I didn't know that was the birth of Jesus. So that was the first place that we heard it.
and made a life-changing difference eventually, didn't it?
It did. I was a seventh grade graduate when I met Judy Mills. She was the Angel Tree coordinator that took our family and ran with us. And she always told me at the beginning that she was going to go to my college graduation. And I was a seventh grade graduate, so I'd always just kind of, you know, smile at her. She was kind, and she always told me she loved me and God loved me, and she was going to go to my college graduation. And I didn't, you know, I just kind of passed that off. But she eventually did get to go to my college graduation. So her through Angel Tree made a huge impact in my life, changed it completely.
Yeah, one person just really kind of just responding to, I mean, she probably had no idea, did she, that she just responding to God's prompting in her life.
Right. She had no idea. She just listened to God's voice. And, you know, God put Angel Tree in her heart, and she took it. And she did exactly what he wanted her to do. And I know why, she, you know, because it can change lives. It changed mine. It changed, you know, in changing mine, it changed my children's futures. And my future, their future will be impacted because of it. And, you know, like, it's a ripple effect. It could go on forever, and it probably will.
Well, that's one of the, you know, kind of the sobering statistics about children of incarcerated parents, right? Because they can easily follow in the parents' footsteps. And so that Angel Tree gift and the message of the gospel really broke that chain.
Right, and because it was more than a gift, that it was the gospel that I'm a Christian now because of that, because somebody took the time to give me a present in my mom's name and to tell me why we're celebrating Christmas, why we're doing this. They weren't doing it just because they were nice people. They were doing it because it was a demonstration of God's love for us. And, you know, I wasn't somebody that had a lot of love in my life. So when you demonstrate God's love, it's amazing what can happen.
Talk about what you maybe most enjoy about you've been volunteering with Angel Tree now for doing some of the Christmas parties and things. Just what do you most enjoy about being on the other side of it now?
Well, I can totally understand how a lot of the families feel. It's a little difficult sometimes to get even just wishes from some of these families, much less get them to a party because they're untrusting. We're strangers and we're wanting to be kind. We're wanting to show them God's love, and I totally understand that there's not a lot of God's love in their lives. They don't see it anyhow. So I enjoy being able to talk to people and talk to families and say, hey, you know, I used to be an Angel Tree kid. And look, I'm here helping with this party. I'm bringing you to this party. You know, you can do that one day too. So getting to give a little piece of my testimony to people is pretty fun. And then also, you know, like I said, I'm a Christian now. We're supposed to be the hands and feet of God, and I feel like through this, that's what I'm doing. You know, he put me in a position to understand how these families feel from that side, and now I can be on this side. So it can be real to them. It's, you know, and I'm not just somebody who's always been privileged my whole life. I'm, you know, I'm somebody who's been exactly where they're at.
Michelle, just say a word to someone listening today, maybe that sensing God's prompting to, you know, maybe it's actually volunteering to be part of an Angel Tree party at church or just whatever it might be, or maybe it's just picking up the phone and making a gift today. What would you say?
I would say you can never underestimate the kindness when God's behind it. If he's telling you to do it, you know. Who knows where it's going to go? Because if we listen to him, he will take it where we can't even imagine ourselves. And I get so much out of it giving as I did receiving. So it's I just encourage anyone listening to do what God's telling you to do. Take action. It can change someone's life.
Michelle, thank you for sharing just a bit about your testimony and your life change. Congratulations on the college completion and all the good things that have been going on in your life too.
Thank you so much,
Michelle Rainey, joining us today. Merry Christmas to you and your family, by the way, and thank you for your continued involvement in Angel Tree.
Merry Christmas. God bless.
You're listening to our special edition of Connecting Faith as we talk Angel Tree today, and I hope you've been encouraged by the stories. We've got one more to share. We're going to do that in a moment, but let me just mention that you can be a part of supporting this great ministry with your gift today online. You can go to myfaithradio.com, our website. We've got a link right in the front page, and you can make a gift there at whatever the amount, but $84 will reach six children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parents. So maybe that's a level you can be involved in, more or less, whatever God prompts you to do, and thank you for your generosity in doing that. Or you can call this toll-free number. It's 855-59-ANGEL. It's 855-592-6435. So over the course of these couple weeks here, we've been hearing stories, some of these wonderfully produced stories, and we've got one more to listen to here before our time is up today, just to be another encouragement about the impact of Angel Tree.
Deborah was only 13 when her choices led to addiction to alcohol, marijuana, and crack cocaine, and teenage pregnancy.
I had my first daughter at age 18 and left her with my mom because I needed to get back to the drugs to make me feel like I was okay.
Selling drugs and shoplifting led to her first arrest and conviction. Deborah served her time. But like so many inmates, she wasn't really rehabilitated.
I didn't know Christ when I left prison, and I did pretty well for a short time. And then I found myself right back with the same people doing the same thing I had done so many times before.
She went back to prison again and again. At her third sentencing, pregnant with her fourth child, Deborah heard a truth that stayed with her.
And I remember the judge telling me, he says, "You just can't do right." And really, that was true. Because without Christ, who can do right?
She was beginning to see she couldn't do life on her own. At the same time, Angel Tree opened her eyes to a love she had never known before.
I remember calling home one Christmas and my daughter saying, "Mom, thank you. But how did you know what I wanted?" And it really, really touched my heart.
A heart hardened by years of addiction opens.
And I remember tears and remorse and one volunteer telling me, "You know, Jesus loves you and he forgives you if you give your life to him." That day and that moment was a change that will last the rest of my life.
With Christ in her life, Deborah became the mom her children needed.
I think about my life without Angel Tree. What would have happened to my children? Because statistics says children of prisoners are more likely to become prisoners themselves.
And she's seen Angel Tree camping, mentoring, and outreach impact the lives of hurting children year-round.
Angel Tree is not just a gift-giving program. It is an opportunity to find out where those hurting children and families are, and for the church to be able to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ.
Finding hurting children and reflecting the love of Jesus. That's Angel Tree.
Well, we've been talking about all this past hour and over the past several days, and thank you again for your generosity in supporting this great ministry. By the way, everyone who gives a gift of $84 or more receives as a thank you from Prison Fellowship the 2014 collectible Angel Tree Christmas ornament and the Prison Fellowship Ministries coffee table book entitled Hope. And I think we've heard some great stories of hope today. And if you'd like to be a part of it, you can call 855-59-ANGEL, 855-592-6435. Or you can just go online, make your gift online at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. And again, all the gifts coming to support this great work at Angel Tree go directly to Prison Fellowship Ministries. Nothing comes back to Faith Radio. We just love the ministry and want to be a part of it. And thank you in advance for you being a part of it as well. Thanks for listening today. If you missed part of today's show, or maybe just want to pass it on to a friend or listen to it again, You can always go to our website, myfaithradio.com, click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's the podcast all there. Tomorrow on the broadcast, it is our monthly installment of Ask the Professor. Dr. Mark Muska, Dr. Brad Sickler are coming back in studio, and it's time we open up the phone lines and take questions about the Bible, faith, the church, whatever it might be, theology, whatever you have in mind, something you've heard or read or wondered about. In fact, if you have a question now and it comes to mind, you want to just send it online, you can do that. Go to myfaithradio.com. On the Connecting Faith show page, there's an email link there. You can submit your question today, and we'll get to it tomorrow on Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening.